The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that I was blind, and now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Weeks ago, the gospel reading focused on a conversation between Nicodemus, Pharisee and member of the Jewish council, and Jesus. Jesus spoke of needing to be born again from above by water and the Spirit, and of being lifted up like the bronze serpent of old, that whoever would look at him, that is, believe in him, crucified, might have eternal life. Jesus taught deep and profound heavenly truths that evening. But it seems that Nicodemus left that night in the dark, without understanding, without faith in Jesus. In last week's gospel, we heard of another individual Jesus met, an unnamed woman of Samaria. In this instance, the meeting was purely coincidental, at least from her perspective. Starting a conversation with her when she came to draw water from the well, Jesus told her of living water, water that would well up from within a person, well up to eternal life. He told her also of worship in spirit and in truth. What Jesus said to this woman brought her to faith. And as a result of her testimony, many people from the town came out to hear Jesus. And hearing him, came to believe that he was indeed the Savior of the world. In his gospel, the evangelist John doesn't record very much of Jesus' public teaching. He doesn't have the Sermon on the Mount. Doesn't include Jesus' many parables. Doesn't even record the crowds bringing their sick and the leprous and demon-possessed to Jesus for him to cleanse and to heal. Instead, we read lengthy accounts, like this morning's reading, of Jesus interacting with individuals. Nicodemus, a man of high standing. The woman at the well looked down upon by the Jews because she was a Samaritan, and marginalized by the people in town because of her relationship issues. John's pattern of focusing on individuals continues today and also next Sunday in the accounts of Jesus and the man born blind, and then of Jesus talking with the two sisters, Mary and Martha, who were mourning the death of their brother Lazarus. As today's account begins, Jesus is walking in Jerusalem with his disciples. They happen to pass a man who had been blind from birth, who was begging. Seeing this blind beggar, the disciples ask Jesus a religious question. Why? Why was this man born blind? Had he somehow brought this misfortune on himself by his own sin? Or was it his parents' sin that had caused his blindness? Note that all the disciples had spent nearly 3 years listening to Jesus. Their understanding of why people experience difficulties in life is no different from millions of people in every culture throughout time. In short, they assumed hardship and difficulty come to people who have done bad things. That somehow, in a sort of universal karma, you only get what you deserve. We should acknowledge that there's a bit of that understanding also in our hearts and minds. Acknowledge it, because it's something of which we need to repent. Jesus rejects it absolutely. It's true that before the fall into sin, there was no sickness or death in the world. Yet the Lord says that he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Most of the time, there isn't a direct connection between the sins people commit and the sorrows and misfortunes that afflict them. Now, of course, if you do stupid things, they can result in injury and heartache. But even more often, they don't. No, Jesus says, this man was born blind that the works of God might be displayed in him. The works of God. Works that reveal God as gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Works like healing and restoring and making whole. Works like establishing faith that receives eternal life. Using the same raw material from which God had fashioned Adam in the garden, a bit of moistened earth, Jesus gives this blind man working eyes for the first time in his life. Did you notice the baptismal shadow in this account? Through your parents and the church, Jesus also sent you to the water to be washed. The blind man sent to Siloam came back seeing. But great as this miracle is, God made an even greater transformation in your life. Born a slave of Satan, dead in trespasses and sin, through the washing of holy baptism, you received rebirth from above. You left the font that day, a new creation, a child of God, and an heir of heaven. This man who had been blind caused quite a stir when those who knew him saw him seeing. They asked if it was really him and how his eyes had been opened. He gave credit to the man called Jesus, explaining about the mud and the washing. They didn't know what to make of it, so they brought him to the Pharisees. Of course, Jesus was known to the Pharisees. When they heard what he had done, it wasn't the giving of sight that interested them, but the mud. The law was clear. There was to be no work on the Sabbath. Kneading mud, preparing clay, was work. There was no exception in the law made for potters. They too were to refrain from work on the Sabbath. And Jesus had made mud that day. Some of the Pharisees concluded, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them, John writes. Suspecting that this was perhaps all just an elaborate hoax to establish a reputation for Jesus, the Pharisees decided to investigate further. The man's parents weren't much help. They confirmed that this man was their son, also that he had been born blind. But they hadn't been there, they said. They couldn't give testimony as to how his blindness had become sight, or who had done it. Ask him, they directed. He's of age. So the Pharisees called the man back a second time and said, "Give glory to God," that is, tell the truth. "We know that this man is a sinner." In response, this man reasons, "Only God can give sight. Jesus gave me sight. Therefore, Jesus must be from God." The Pharisees, however, reason, "God has forbidden work on the Sabbath. In making mud to put on this man's eyes, Jesus broke the Sabbath law. Therefore, Jesus cannot be from God." It was the blind man who saw the truth. The Pharisees failed to take into account what Jesus had said previously when he had been called on the carpet for healing a lame man on the Sabbath. "My Father is working until now, and I am working." That is, God doesn't leave the world to spin out of control on the Sabbath day. Even on the seventh day, God sustains all things. If Jesus gives sight to a blind man, something that only God can do, and he does it on the Sabbath, then the Pharisees' interpretation of Sabbath law had to be mistaken. For God cannot sin. Who in this account is blind? One man has been given his sight. Many others, though their eyesight might have been 20/20, are utterly blind. "There are none so blind as those who would not see," the saying goes. That is, those who refuse or don't want to see. And that describes these Pharisees here. They had all the information they needed to understand that Jesus was sent from God. The testimony of this man who had been blind, was true. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. With Jesus coming comes a challenge. He comes to heal and to give sight, to provide life in abundance. But there are those who say they have no need of a physician, who refuse necessary treatment. That's why his coming results in judgment. The blind are given sight, but those who are convinced they can see fine become blind. Have they been blinded by the light of the world? No. But the light of the world makes their blindness unmistakable. The true light which enlightens everyone has come into the world. But people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. To refuse Jesus as the light that he is to become blind in every spiritual thing. And this ends in death and eternal damnation. And yet Jesus calls to us, to you and to me, who in our sin are congenitally blind and deaf, saying to us, "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see." At his word, and through a washing with water and the Spirit, he gives us sight. He takes away your blindness in sin, cleanses you from every fault, and blesses you to know his love. Like the man to whom Jesus gave sight, the works of God His mercy and grace and power are displayed in you, in your life. As Jesus found that man after the Pharisees had cast him out, so he also finds you through his word at his supper and reveals himself to you as your Savior. In his body given over to death on the cross, by his blood poured out in your place, he joins you to himself in a blessed communion. It is as St. Paul wrote in our second reading. At one time you were in darkness, but the divine alarm clock has sounded. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. As a result, now you are light in the Lord. St. Peter expresses the same glorious truth in his first letter. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In the name of Jesus, who lived and died for you, you are God's own, a recipient of his mercy. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.